Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, to quickly run through with you 30 problems in the A City Lost trailer slash film. Now, the trailer is less than 2 minutes long, but it alone has 6 problems. So let's quickly get into this. 22 seconds into the trailer, we have a grammatical error.
God told the Israelites, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them."
How can he tell the Israelites, you know, that he may dwell among them when the them is a reference to the Israelites? He actually told Moses, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them," the Israelites. All right, number two. At 55 seconds in, you have this extremely misleading statement about, you know, could this be the temple where Solomon was coronated? And the idea here is to snow the viewer into thinking that somehow we're talking about the location of Solomon's temple by saying, well, you know, the temple where Solomon was coronated.
Is it possible that the temple that he discovered is where Solomon was coronated?
So the site that they're referring to, which they call Temple Zero, was something that supposedly existed centuries before Solomon was even born, like way back in the distant past. Like they were calling it the Temple of Melchizedek, or, you know, saying that it went all the way back to like the time of Abraham or something. Way before Solomon. No one is claiming that this temple would have been operational at the time that Solomon was coronated, because if you remember, the temple site was the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite at that time. It wasn't a temple. And they're claiming that these are the same place. And so this is just super misleading and inaccurate to claim that this temple could have been the temple in which Solomon was coronated. Solomon wasn't coronated in a temple. Solomon built the temple years after he was coronated. There was no temple that he was coronated in. It's just this kind of sensational statement that's meant to be misleading. Problem number three. At 1 minute and 5 seconds into the trailer, this archaeologist Eli Shukron has just spoken. And then they follow that up with this misleading edit. He's either lying or he's telling the truth. And this is the place of the temple of Solomon and Herod. That makes it seem like either, you know, Eli Shukron is lying or he's telling the truth about this being the place, because then they keep showing that guy on the screen while they're saying, you know, either he's lying or he's telling the truth.
We're in the temple, this fantastic finding, because it takes us to the beginning of worshiping God.
He's either lying.
There is a penalty for sin, the Bible tells us.
Or he's telling the truth, and this is the place of the temple of Solomon and Herod.
Okay, which leads me to problem number four with the trailer, which is that the star archaeologist of this trailer and of the film itself vehemently disagrees with the whole premise of this film. And here's the evidence right here.
Recently, I ran into Eli in Jerusalem and asked him in his own words to clarify this twisting of his words.
So just so we know, Eli is a very, very famous archaeologist. He's one of the most significant archaeologists in Jerusalem, so we wanted to get it from Eli's.
Again, the temple on Temple Mount, period. All the other is just idea for people, and you know, we're in the world, everyone can say whatever you want, but if you go to the evidence, like all the evidence, like all the finding, the temple on Temple Mount, period. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
And notice how dismissive he is of their view. He believes it's ridiculous. And this is the star archaeologist of their film. I guess it's kind of rough to find archaeologists when you film, when every real archaeologist disagrees with the premise of the movie. Problem number five, at 1 minute and 23 seconds, we have Patrick Boyle saying, if we could get the location of the most important mountain in the Bible wrong, you know, maybe we're wrong about the location of the temple. And by the way, this line that you find in the trailer is Patrick Boyle's only line in the entire film. And what's so ridiculous about this is saying like, oh, we got the location of Mount Zion wrong and they just figured out the real Mount Zion and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they're just labeling some hill over there as Mount Zion for tourists to go to. But in reality, if you study the Bible, the word Zion refers to a bunch of different things, right? It's not just one thing, because sometimes Zion is specifically referring to the city of David. a lot of times it's just referring to Jerusalem in general. It's referring to the whole area. I mean, if you go through all the references, it's used in a variety of ways, which is one of the reasons why the Bible talks about the mountains of Zion, plural. So just because they put up a sign in Israel labeling something as Mount Zion, or they used to label something else as Mount Zion, Jerusalem itself is Zion. The whole city, the whole area could be referred to as Zion and is referred to that way in the Bible, because again, the word Zion is used in a variety of ways in the Bible, and that's easy to demonstrate. Problem number six, at 1 minute and 32 seconds, we have Robert Cornuke saying, "This fulfills the prophets. This doesn't."
This fulfills the prophets. This does not.
And he's pointing at a picture of some terraced agriculture, and he's saying, "This fulfills the prophets." And what he's referring to is that there's a prophecy in the book of Micah. So it's not the prophets plural. It's one prophecy in the book of Micah where it says, "Zion shall be plowed like a field and Jerusalem shall become heaps." But what's funny about that is that that prophecy is literally rescinded in Jeremiah chapter 26. And the Bible clearly says that God actually repented and decided not to do that. Listen to what the Bible says in Jeremiah 26:18. "Micah the Morasthite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls." So just as when Jonah prophesied that Nineveh would be overthrown, and then God repented of the evil and decided not to destroy Nineveh, that's exactly what happened with Micah's prophecy. So for them to say, well, you know, this is a prophecy that just has to be fulfilled, and you know, this fulfills the prophets, this doesn't, ignores the fact that we have this clear scripture about God repenting of that evil and not doing it. Obviously, one could make the case that maybe these people here got it wrong. It would be kind of a weird thing to include in the Bible, though, if they got this so wrong, when, you know, nobody's disputing it in this passage. But aside from that, guess what? You can see pictures of a plow literally on top of the traditional Temple Mount location, and it's a big flat area, and you can see how parts of it have been plowed, parts of it are like a forest. So even if you wanted to take this literally about today's Temple Mount, you still could anyway. All right, so let's get into the film itself with problem number seven. 11 minutes and 30 seconds into the film, you have this giant straw man about people claiming that the Western Wall is part of the temple. Okay, which that is not the claim that's being made. You know, a simple, quick Google search will show you that no, people are not claiming that that is actually part of the temple. Okay, the Temple Mount has like a retaining wall around it or something, and that's obviously not part of the temple because nothing is left from the temple, because as Jesus said, not one stone is left upon another. You know, when they showed him the buildings of the temple. The buildings of the temple are gone. All you have left is just this big flat mountain on which the temple was situated. Then again, problem number eight, 26 minutes and 30 seconds in, you have this straw man claim made again that tour guides are saying that the Western Wall is a wall of the temple. There's no way that anyone even halfway serious believes that that is a quote, wall of the temple. That is absurd. It's just a straw man. Point number nine is at 31 minutes and 30 seconds into the film, you have this military guy who says, quote, "From just a pure military perspective, I would want to put my camp on the highest ground I could, which back then was Mount Moriah." Now, they're talking about the Temple Mount at this point because they're claiming that the only thing up there was just a Roman fortress, not the temple as well. And the funny thing about this is that the guy is calling the Temple Mount Mount Moriah. Well, guess what? The Bible specifically says in 2 Chronicles 3:1 that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. So if the Temple Mount is Mount Moriah, that's specifically where the Bible says God told him to build the temple. And so, this guy in the film is calling the Temple Mount Mount Moriah and saying, oh yeah, the Roman fortress is built on Mount Moriah. But then later in the film, they're going to act like Mount Moriah is somewhere else, you know, and that the temple location is actually somewhere else in the city of David. So it's super inconsistent. At problem number 10, at 40 minutes and 30 seconds in, the guy says that the real temple location is actually 600 feet to the south of the Temple Mount at the Gihon Springs. And this part just kind of blew me away. Like, really? Like, is this entire film about a discrepancy of 600 feet? I mean, that just kind of blew my mind. That line in the film, you know, oh, I was being pulled south 600 feet to Gihon Springs. Wow, 600 feet. Super meaningful film. Okay, and then at 48 minutes and 55 seconds, this is the quote that's made by Robert Cornuke. When David took over the Jebusite fortress, God came to him and said, David, buy the threshing floor. Okay, so there are actually two major problems here. Number one, when David took over the Jebusite fortress, that is not when he bought the threshing floor. Okay, those two events are separated by decades, number one. But then problem number 12 with the film is that no, God did not tell him, buy the threshing floor. And the entire film is like this, with Robert Cornuke just making claims about what the Bible says that are not in the Bible. Just over and over again. Just, well, God said, David, buy that threshing floor. Well, no, actually, he didn't. Okay? He actually just told him to build an altar there. And then David went and offered to buy it. The guy wanted to give it to him for free. He insists on buying it. But nowhere did God say, you need to buy it. Okay? It's just a made-up statement. And he's decades off in his timeline. Problem number 13, at 51 minutes and 30 seconds, the film says, the Bible clearly states that the temple was constructed within the limits of the Jebusite fortress. And of course, this is a statement that is made nowhere in the Bible. And again, it's like I said, the whole movie is like this. Like, they'll show a Bible verse, like for example, they show the, and this isn't even on my list, but they show this verse about Zion being plowed like a field. And it's like, you know, God said that it would be plowed like a field and that its location would be completely forgotten. Or, you know, it just makes statements about what you just saw that aren't real. Okay. And for example, in this case, where it's claiming that it was within the limits of the Jebusite fortress, which the Bible doesn't say, they have a graphic on the screen that says, in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, which is true, but then they just put in parentheses, Jebusite fortress. So, you know, threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, that's the Jebusite fortress. Says who? Shut up and believe it because we said so. All right, problem number 14, at 54 minutes, this quote comes on the screen like it's some authoritative quote, but then when you read the fine print, it's a quote from Robert Cornuke's book. So he's literally citing himself as an authority. Just wow to that, okay? And then at 1 hour and 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Robert Cornuke says, quote, tradition is mentioned 14 times and it's all negative. Now, bro, did you even open a concordance? Because actually, tradition is used 13 times, and two of those mentions are positive. So this is just factually inaccurate. There are two positive mentions of tradition, 13 total. He claims it's 14, and they're all negative. Okay, problem number 16. At 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 28 seconds, the archaeologist Eli Shukran says, olive oil, you must use it immediately. You cannot wait with olive oil. Now, I don't know if this guy's just never seen the inside of a kitchen before, but actually, this is just totally false, this idea that olive oil just instantly goes bad. Now, obviously, yeah, eventually, months later or years later, olive oil is going to go bad. But olive oil was used in the ancient world sometimes even to preserve things, okay? Like where they put the wine in the vats and put a layer of oil on top or whatever. And I'm not claiming to be an expert on food or cooking or olive oil, but I know this, olive oil doesn't have to be used immediately. It didn't then. It doesn't now. Quick Google search. Talk to a few people. I don't know. Why don't you pour some olive oil out? Smash some olives and I don't know, but I don't know what this guy's talking about. I don't know where he got this statement. He just makes this really strong statement with no backing. Problem number 17, 1 hour, 22 minutes and 30 seconds. They talk about how the Temple Mount has 36 to 37 cisterns, and these cisterns contain millions of gallons of water. So the Temple Mount has millions of gallons of water in these cisterns. And then later in the film, this statement is made that there is no water on the Temple Mount whatsoever. None. Now, they make a big deal about there not being running water, but there is also, just by itself in the film, a statement of Cornuke saying there's no water on the Temple Mount, none. But then at this point, they're telling us that there's, you know, 37 to 38 cisterns. Problem number 18, at 1 hour, 23 minutes and 50 seconds, Cornuke says, for the priests to wash themselves before the priestly duties in the temple, it had to have been living water, running water, spring water. Thus, the Gihon Springs would be considered holy water. Okay, first of all, number one, running water isn't just automatically considered holy water. Aside from this, if you actually look up running water in Scripture, there are references in the Mosaic Law to running water. It only occurs in three passages of the Mosaic Law. So thousands of scriptures about the priests and the tabernacle and the temple and all the things that they do, all their duties and everything, thousands of references, and you only have three passages containing seven references to running water, and none of them are what he's saying. None of them are about the priest washing himself before doing his duty or any of the things that Cornelius claims. They have to do with, you know, cleansing, leprosy, and whatever, but again, the point is, it's something that's barely mentioned. So yeah, there are a couple rituals where you need running water, but to claim that every priest has to, you know, be washed in running water before he can do his job is just false. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about them bathing their flesh in water, and it talks about, of course, baths and lavers and things, but no, that's just another one of those claims that is made with no evidence. Problem number 19, at 1 hour, 26 minutes and 9 seconds, the claim is made that the Gihon Spring is under pressure and that it's analogous to Old Faithful in Yellowstone, and that the temple is basically built at this spring that shot out of the earth like Old Faithful, except a cold version. So I guess we could call it Cold Faithful, you know, that the temple was built at Cold Faithful. Of course, this is not something that the Bible teaches. It's an absurd claim, you know, to compare. And I've been to Old Faithful. Old Faithful's super cool if you ever get a chance to go there. But, you know, comparing the Gihon Spring to Old Faithful is really laughable, okay? Problem number 20, at 133:30, Cornuke says, Paul told the Bereans, don't believe what I say. I'm asking you, the audience, don't believe anything I say. And then, you know, goes on to say, you got to check it in the Bible. Don't believe it because I said. But again, this is just Cornuke claiming that the Bible says stuff that it doesn't say, because of course there's no reference to Paul telling the Bereans, quote, hey, don't believe what I say. I want to see anything like that where Paul said to the Bereans, hey, don't believe what I say. But again, Cornuke is just constantly making things up and saying that they're in the Bible throughout the film. Okay, problem 21 is, in my opinion, the dumbest thing in this entire movie, which is, and I'm just going to read for you what Cornuke says at 134:20. Psalm 48 gives us a really strong pronouncement by God, and it's a really strong admonition that we should teach following generations where the temple was, where Zion was, where the bulwarks are, where the palaces are, where the boundaries are. The Bible is very, very strong about telling, and people haven't done that. They haven't studied where these things were. So Cornuke is claiming that the Bible commands us to figure out where the temple was 2,000 years ago and to teach it to our kids or something. And this is preposterous, stupid twisting of Scripture. Like I said, I think it's the dumbest thing in the whole movie. Here's what Psalm 48:12 actually says. Walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. So he's telling people who actually live there to walk around and just look at things that they actually see and tell the generations following, you know, what it was like, right? So does this say, figure out what it was like, go dig it up, you know, figure out what it was like thousands of years ago. And you know, we Christians have been delinquent in this command or something, as if it matters to us as Christians at all where this temple used to be. And let's just talk about the elephant in the room about this whole film. Who even cares where the temple was located? It's the most irrelevant subject I can even think of. But I guess we're supposed to believe that the Jews completely, all of them, and not even just the Jews, just everyone else who lived in that region, just all the millions of inhabitants of that Levant region, that everyone forgot where the temple was actually located. Everybody ignored Psalm 48. Everybody, you know, whatever. But that we're going to get chastised with Psalm 48 for not following some weird archaeological rabbit trail. I mean, again, it's just, I didn't want to talk about it. It's so dumb. Anyway, problem 22, we have at 1:35:40, Pastor McMurtry telling us that we as Christians should be against rebuilding the temple, which, you know, amen. Yeah, that's true. We should be against rebuilding the temple. But then later, Kernuk goes on to say, once the Jews figure out the current location of the temple is in the city of David and they own that land, they could build a temple. This is really exciting. If we could just get the Jews to figure this out, then they'd be able to build the temple and they get real excited about this. So if McMurtry on the one hand is saying, hey, the temple's evil, it's bad, we don't want to build it. And then you have Kornuk saying, hey, if they can find out the true location, then they could build it right away. We could start building because they already own the land. You know, like, what is the point of this film? Are we trying to help the Antichrist? Like, are we trying to help the Jews build a temple that the film admits is evil by explaining to them that it really should be on a location that they already own? Like, again, just wow. Problem number 23, at 1:41:30, we have Pastor McMurtry say, we believe it's during that time of great tribulation that God is going to pour his wrath out on this earth. And here's the funny thing about that. Didn't we do a whole film about this, Paul, called After the Tribulation, where we went on and on and on proving from the Bible that the great tribulation is not the time when God's wrath is poured out? And now here's a movie that says that we believe that during the time of the Great Tribulation, God is going to pour out his wrath on the earth. Wow, I guess we've just completely negated the entire film After the Tribulation. Because, of course, the Bible clearly teaches that God's wrath is poured out after the tribulation, not during the Great Tribulation. And then problem 24... at 1:43:25, this is the final statement of the film, the last words of the film. You know, you really want to end on something powerful in a film like this. Quote, this is Robert Kernuk speaking, the Bible is literally coming to life right before our eyes. So the film literally ends with a bad use of the word literally. Okay, and it's hilarious when people use the word literally this way. Right? Like the Bible is like literally coming to life before our eyes. Like, yeah. Like a book is literally, you know, coming to life before our eyes. It's alive. That's what literally means. Okay. Like, I remember I heard a preacher say that the apostles literally turned the world upside down. Right? So they literally turned it upside down? Or you know, that the city would come in and just literally shoot down your plans or something. And so these uses of literally are truly laughable. Okay, and then just super fast, I got five more just little bonus, like, linguistic problems. Like, the word crucial is misspelled in the film. They spell it C-R-U-T-I-A-L when it's actually C-R-U-C-I-A-L. They claim that Robert Kernuk has written a compilation of 12 books. That's not what compilation means. The statement is made in the film, people in Jerusalem are beloved of that site. That would grammatically mean that the site loves them, instead of vice versa. Here's another fun little statement from the film. These deep walls go down from a deep height. So have fun trying to figure out what that means. And then also we have a new verb that was invented in this film. I conject. And then, okay, so problem number 30. The premise of the entire film is wrong. So that's kind of a big one, isn't it? Because in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they're finishing up building the temple, the Bible says in verse 2 that they bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is in Zion. And then a few verses later, they install it into the temple. So notice they're taking it out of the city of David and taking it up to the temple. And so it's impossible for the temple to be in the so-called, you know, city of David that they're claiming it is today. And so there you go, folks. 30 problems. This is not all the problems, okay? I'm sure that you could find way more if you wanted to. But if for some bizarre reason you're interested in this subject and want to see more, there's a documentary on YouTube that you could watch. Just look up this documentary on YouTube. It's a well-made documentary that just completely demolishes the premise of A City Lost. And I'll probably put a link in the description as well. You know, I don't know, maybe Paul Wittenberg can watch this review and fix these 30 problems. And then maybe 5 years from now, you know, we can get another version of the film that's totally different. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great day.